It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Bring them all, bring them all, bring them all. From, you know, my studio to the world. You know, let's just talk about it. Who wants to play? And, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center, I've been, you know, victim or whatever, you know, got notoriety from these guys for a long time. And she's like, oh, we helped made you famous. I go, yes, you did. Thank you very much for playing. You know, because it's just, and even during all of that, you know, I'm like, Southern Poverty, who the heck are they? You know, and then you hear this Morris D's thing and they're, you know, and everybody says bad stuff about, oh, well, they're just whatever. And, you know, do I have to care enough to go look? I just don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Am I allowed not to care? Well, you know, then they come back with, you know, you may not take an interest in politics, but politics will definitely take an interest in you. And I'm going, yeah, I don't really play politics either. I've found the best thing to do is certainly when you believe you're right. I mean, you're not ashamed of your position. You know, you're about peace and love and everything. And you're just like, look, I just want to be understood. Yeah, I insist on being understood and oftentimes heard, but that's not a right. You know, I have a right to speak, but I don't have a right to make you hear me. You know, I mean, that's, you know, I got to be creative. You know, I got to do creative things. I got to do stunts. I got to do events. I got to get my government number, you know, my lawsuit number, my arrest number, my candidate number, my initiative number. There's always a number. Once you get that number, then it's like permission. Heck, it's almost a requirement that government follow it up, you know, that the media report on it. You know, it's just the way it works. Well, there's so many examples, like we were talking about the new Black Panther, blah, 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 doing the voting thing. And then, you know, Acorn's having problems. They defunded them. Because, you know, there was just, I mean, the fact that they even got funded and all the stuff they did is just the mentality, just amazing. And what Heidi, how do you say her last name? Byrick. Heidi Byrick, she, you know, I'm sure she seemed like a nice enough woman. You know, Jet went and talked to her. And Jet is, you know, a big, he's probably 260-70 pound, 6'2", 6'3", bald guy, man, that guy might as well just have, you know, tattoos all over him and, you know, give him a gun, because that's how they see him anyway. Well, she was very kind. She interviewed with him, talked to him, answered his questions. You know, I don't think she has a lot of fear, but she doesn't have a lot of understanding either, because she doesn't associate. She'll go to these meetings and hear, like, Bob Schultz going on about, you know, the Constitution and they need and whatever and go. But then she started adding, you know, domestic terrorism has been added to their spiel. It's not just hate crimes or racially motivated crimes or this kind of stuff. They added this domestic terrorism component. And I'm going, really? When did that happen? Well, maybe it happened back in the 90s or whatever. But who added that? Who decided that? How was that decided? What committee meeting was that one in? You know, the staff you know, memo that went out on that one. I'm going, okay, now define domestic terrorists. Well, those that would be, you know, violently overthrow the government. And I'm going, okay, do they have to worry about a reason? And I go, what if they're coming and they're pounding on them and they defend themselves? She's on our side! Yee-hoo! We're going to be calling her because it happens all the time. Yeah, we'll have some more fun with it. It was nice of Heidi to come on. We'll be back in just a little bit on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. And you can do it, too, during the break. And you don't even need a government form.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Did you declare your independence during the break? It's real simple. I declare my independence. I'm independent of any and everything. I have no allegiance or jurisdiction, I believe, is over my life to make decisions. As long as I'm not bothering anybody, I pretty much should expect to, you know, be left alone. And, instead of me going out and doing my frontier justice thing, hopefully we have a government that's there to protect my individual rights and a court system's going to adjudicate it so we're not streets running red with blood because people that are bugging me. But what happens when it's the government that's doing it all the time? Then what? You go to the government-paid black-robed judge to, hey, you know, tell this goon over here with a uniform and a shiny badge that he was being bad and stop him and make him quit. You know, is that what's happening? And when that doesn't happen, then you lose credibility for the government. I mean, it just kind of goes away. And then at the very least, people just stop supporting it. Hey, man, I'm done. I'm over here. Now, you can't tax me when I don't make any money. You know, I'm good. You know, what happens? They're going to have to milk the slaves. They have to. You know, this debt, it's unpayable, and the rest of the world knows it. And they're just, I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to go. I mean, it's going to go. Sell your stocks, buy silver. I mean, you know, that's all. Let's go ahead and go to Chris. Chris, what's up, man? Chris, I got you there?
No, that was earlier.
Oh, I'm sorry. He was on earlier and wanted to talk to her. I apologize. Well, you know, if you guys do want to come in, that's 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Let's go to, you know, some of the things that were interesting just today. I mean, you know, I know I'm going to be doing this show with Heidi. I come on and I say, you know, what's the news? I just put up stuff. It just comes in my box, you know, on a regular basis. And then I had this, of course, you know, it's a tape of this beating on a St. Louis school bus. You know, the white kid gets on the bus. Within 30 seconds, him walking on, sitting down, they're just pounding on him. You know, and if that was the racial colors was reversed on that, man, you know that'd be front page of freaking everything. You know, so I'm just like, you know, let's get some consistency here so that we don't have the illegitimacy of anything they have to say because it's all so racially motivated. And I'm just, you know, can we, and that's really kind of the point, is it not to be racially a racial society that we segment, you know, laws based on who did what to who based on their skin color and so on. Can we just say it's a crime and then, you know, adjudicate that? You know, rights are violated. Even when the government does it, they're bad guys. You know, let's do that. You know, one interesting thing we put up in Tucson today or this evening, all this week, we have the schedule up there, Animal Farm, a stage play. That'd be interesting. I'd like to go see that. I put it, I go, wow, I want to go. It's in Tucson, damn it. You know, I don't want to see it that bad. But, you know, it's, people down in Tucson, Southern Arizona, that'd be cool. You know, Animal Farm is a stage play. That'd be interesting. You know, one of the other things is now, you know, gold's becoming a big issue. You know, when China is just, you know, taking up all the gold, because that was part of the motivation that I was talking about, you know, how, and think about it. You know, Heidi Byrick, we have her on Southern Poverty Law Center, special projects and everything, and we're talking, and she wanted to ask a couple of questions. She wanted to ask about Jekyll Island thing, you know, these guys there, and I'm going, well, they're not, you know, radical enough for me. They're trying to marry this Declaration of Independence with the Constitution thing, and I see them as two totally different things. You know, so I'm going, you know, but we're about the love. You know, you don't mind. Can I have an opinion? You know, yes, I bought an AR-15. The first time I bought, you know, it's a kind of expensive gun, but it was, I knew it was going to go up. It was $700-something all done, ready to go, that I got, and then I added some goodies to it. But it, you know, make it look cool like a video game, you know, because I got sons, man. You're not cool if you don't have like a front pistol grip or some crap. So I, you know, got some goodies for it, but I knew it was going to happen. immediately after the election, whether it was, heck, I think it would be the same McCain or Obama, but with the Obama thing, boom, man, that same gun that I'm sitting there looking at with the stuff that I have on it, I'll bet you it's two and a half times more expensive. Now, we went to the gun show this last weekend, things starting to come down, you know, but they were, but from someone from her perspective, she's like, what happened? She's freaking out. Oh my God, all these people are buying guns. You know, all of a sudden they're going to go and rebel against Obama. The revolution is nigh. And what, oh my goodness, where are all these guns going? Well, I'm going, well, you know, the same thing was going on during the Bush administration. Heck, I was at Air America. The left was sitting there going, yeah, I'm starting to see the Second Amendment thing when you got a tyrannical government and all the stuff that Bush was doing. Man, they were arming up. Heck, the left was getting guns. So now we're starting to see as we get further and further along and we all become aware of what's going on and how programmed this whole thing is, you're starting to see that, you know, the same guys are controlling the debate on both sides. I saw it happen with MoveOn. You know, Cindy Sheehan, Crawford, Texas, Bush's ranch and all that stuff. I was there a week in the ditch, you know, covering it for the radio station, getting my fire ants. I saw what they did. MoveOn, anti-war group, they were going to bring the coalition, an umbrella group, all these anti-war things so that we can get Democrats in there so they can fix it. Did they? No. And that was 06. 2 years of Congress. You know, we had signs in the beginning of 07, Powell Gamble. You know, dang it, I should have brought that up when she was here. You know, Powell Gamble, senior editor, one of the signs that he came up with, we still have the stencil, and we'll make them. It's about time to start putting them up. There will be a time, and we will do it. We got a library of stencils. And what it said was, pen the war on the donkey. And the other one said, it's the Democrats' war now. What do you think that they'll think of that? Oh, we did a bunch of them there. Oh, they didn't like that at all. But the anti-war people that were looking for Pelosi and friends to, you know, to stop funding this war, they were like, yeah, dang, Skippy. Well, then all of a sudden you have all these rallies and so on, you know, and healthcare and so on, people protesting, whatever. They got the memo left and right. We're going to talk about healthcare. Where's the anti-war guys? It's all the libertarians. That's the only ones I ever see. They sit there, have their anti-war signs. And here you have a Democrats expanded in Afghanistan and Pakistan. They're going to add another 45,000 troops. Please. Where are these people? It was what they did. Move on. They went to Cindy Sheehan and they said, you know, we want you to change your rhetoric from get out now to phase withdrawal. And she wouldn't do it. And because she wouldn't make that simple statement right there, I am for a phased withdrawal. You know, we need to start coming out or something. She was like Ron Paul thing. Nope, we just march in, we just march out, we're done. And because she wouldn't do that, man, they turned tables on her, bullet points went out. She's bad, evil, we all hate Cindy. And it shocked her, surprised her. And I'm going, why? What did you think you were up against? The military-industrial complex, you know, the fascist complex of the IST, you know, the fascist, the communist, the IST, there's a bunch of IST out there. You know, there are isms. And the thing that we all got a big giant dose of is that we're all being manipulated. By what? By who? You know, a lot of people in this station, you know, they'll be, you know, the Zionist. You know, and I'm going, you know, this Jew, anti-Semitic thing, so on. You know, I'm trying to talk to Heidi about this. I'm going, you know, define this for me. And I go, if I don't advocate for money to go to Israel, they're ripping me off as much as I don't advocate Egypt does it. You know, and am I anti-Semitic? Well, she kind of hedged around a little bit. And the big thing that she was like, I don't get into foreign policy. Yeah, you're anti-Semitic if you're out there having an effect on don't fund Israel. I guarantee you that. You know, because I've had the VP of the Zionist of America, an attorney in Scottsdale. He comes on. You go to the archive, you know, my old archive. You go to ErnestHancock.com/archive. And you have guest by subject, guest by the name of the guest. I mean, show by subject, show by guest. And you go ErnestHancock.com/archive. And we're integrating them into the new archives, and we'll eventually get to that, you know. But so they're not as available, and people are like, where's your old archive? That's where it's at. So you go there, and you look for probably Israel or Zionism or something. A bunch of shows will come up, and you can just go look through them. And I can't remember the guy's name. I'll look for it during the break. But I've had him on a couple times, and I just let him go on and on and on. He's right with you. Yeah, you should. The State Department should not be funding, you know, these other countries, blah, 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 except for Israel. Okay? Why? Well, you know, because you know, we're friends. We're buds. We're allies, you know, or bases in the Middle East that we need to have for national security of whatever. And I'm going, and you start talking about national security. How in the heck is that? Because Israel's interest is U.S. interest. Okay. Says who? Where did that come from? You know, how is that? And these guys will have that type of rhetoric. That is where they're, that's how they think. So when you go to Heidi from Southern Poverty Law Center and you say, you know, would I be a anti-Semitic and racist and so on if I don't want people in other countries taking my money? Heck, I don't want my country taking my money. You know, much less taking it from me and shipping it overseas, which is the whole part about this, you know, this TARP thing, you know, this bailout money. You know, the big audit they want to do on the Fed is where did you spend the money? They send it overseas. They go to the other, you know, not even governments, it's corporations over. Once you start down that road, woohoo, where is the limit? Because then you have the United Nations thing. You know, United Nations, you know, we're giving them money because why? And to enforce what? The decisions of other countries that we're funding. You know, can we not? I vote not. Oh, well, then you're anti-something. You know, so if you can just, I don't necessarily expect to hear all of a sudden, you know, oh, you know, I agree with you. But we did get that she, at least, I think, understood. Yeah, I agree. Or maybe she understands better now. She can, you know, screw with it more or say something or said I said something I didn't say or context, whatever. You know, that's fine. We got more understanding. Now I understand her point. She's scared. She doesn't understand where all these people with guns came from. We'll talk about it when we come back in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here from FreedomsPhoenix.com Studios. Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. And I want to talk about a couple things. One, you have a lot of justification for the people to be upset. You know, she's upset that, you know, well, where were they during the Bush thing? Oh, and that's when, you know, I should have said something to her about that. I meant to. If you go to the archive for today's show, you know, you go to freedomsphoenix.com and you'll see Declare Your Independence, Ernest Hancock, September 15th. On that page, I came across a video. Somebody sent it to me yesterday, and I put it on there. It's called Liberal Media Hypocrisy Test. And it was talking about all these anti-Obama signs and rhetoric and Nazi references and all this other stuff at Obama events. But at the same, over the audio of that, somebody superimposed all of the Bush stuff during when Bush was president, with Bush in the little mustache and Nazi swastika stuff and uniforms. And it was, and I know this, heck, we had as many of him on our site as we do Obama. You know, heck, a lot of them are the same stuff. You just change the face in it, you know, and it's easy to do. You go find this stuff. You just, you Google image, you go Google image, and you go in there and you put Obama Nazi. You know, Bush Nazi. They got graphics coming out your rear, you know, that'll apply to whatever the heck it is that you want to emphasize. So this is, you know, these kind of things, it's like a double standard stuff. And it used to get away with it. Before the internet, you know, and making these kinds of videos on YouTube, they never show this kind of stuff on any of the television. They need the left-right thing. You know, ooh, look what they're doing. They'll say, ooh, look what they're doing. Ooh, and they both do it, and it's just, you know, police. But what happens when you got some 22-year-old that looks and sees the hypocrisy of this, and they just do a YouTube, and it goes viral, and it gets 1.5 million hits? You know, then what? You know, how do you do that? I don't know. Let's go to Jerry in Illinois. Go ahead, Jerry.
How you doing, Mr. Hancock?
I'm more than wonderful, and you?
I'll be all right. I heard some of your conversation with Ms. Byrick, I think her name is.
Right.
And something I kind of want the American people to think about. It is in America, North and South America, the Caucasian race has been the victim of massive conditioning to fear the Negro race by design. And you know who they are, who designed it.
Well, it's whoever benefited. I mean, you know, it's like reefer madness. You can't have drugs, you know, hemp and marijuana because black men rape white women. You know, so we got to get rid of that so Dow can sell their nylon rope and not have to compete with hemp. I mean, you know, it's always they use racism for something, and it's usually money or control. So this isn't new. I mean, they've been doing this since the beginning of time, my tribe versus yours.
Exactly. And so now when I say Caucasian, I mean North and South America, because Hispanics are Caucasian. Okay. And so they had to do this because they were prepared to make the Negro race perpetual slaves. So they had to condition you very good to fear and to fear them, and so that they can maintain it, because in Americans don't think like other people, you see.
Well, they That's want what, them to. You know, America, you're right. That was one thing, part of my presentation at the Prescott Tea Party thing, is that Prescott was much more pioneering, kind of old heritage culture of self-sustaining type people here in Arizona, and they got invaded by the socialists from California. So they come in, and literally they do. I mean, people, bureaucracies and politicians and so on come in, and they kind of recreate stuff because, well, we milked this, you know, dry, so we're going to go over there and do it again. So they kind of do this, and you're conditioned, you're reprogrammed, or at least they give you the perception that they are, because when you go to the ballot box, it's some computer program, you know, by some company that counts, and they say, yep, they wanted more socialism. So I'm going, you know, really? And even if they did, it doesn't work anyway. So it just falls apart, which is what's happening. So race will always be used as a tool, and the immigration thing is big. I'm a libertarian. I don't see – only governments whine about more customers. I mean, you know, I'm not a big immigration worry about it kind of guy. My thing is I don't care if you're from Appalachia or, you know, the Midwest, the Rust Belt, lost your job in Detroit, whatever, worker, or you're from Mexico, I don't think that you have a right to my money, period. Nobody. You know,
you can't use race as a tool unless you've been conditioned. I mean, you can't. You have to be conditioned to be manipulated.
Well, they do it at the same time.
They
do it at the same time. I give you an example. You're on MSNBC, and they'll do, you know, all the fear, the black man is downtrodden, the white supremacist, here they come. Are they really? Well, no, and they get it as an excuse to pass some legislation or get somebody elected. At the same time, you're right, they are programming you and conditioning you. But it's
you have to be programmed before it'll work, because...
Well, it's part
of it. I don't care what they say about them. If it's not true, it doesn't matter what they say.
Well,
you have to be already racist or conditioned.
Well, that's changing. You know, the next generations coming up are integrating into society. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You know, they're integrating into society that is being built by a whole new generation that these issues are not important to them. They just don't care. The next generations, these young people are, you know, their friends cover all races and genders. You know, they just don't care. And we're probably better off. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
It's me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. here from Phoenix, Arizona, on freedomsphoenix.com studios. And I had to look. You know, I'm going, you know, I never look. You know, I went to Southern Poverty Law Center, and I typed in my name in a search thing. And then here's the headline. Gun toter's interview was staged, talking about the Obama thing with Chris and the AR-15. An interviewer has ties to Arizona Viper Group. I have ties. You know, I'm tied. No, 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 no. And then, you know, I haven't read it. I mean, blah, 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 blah. But the bottom line is that, oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. His Fox interview with rifle-carrying friend on Monday came 6 days after a man named William Kostrick stood outside a town hall meeting on health care that Obama hosted in New Hampshire with a gun holstered at his side. Kostrick, who used to live in Scottsdale, Arizona, see, here it comes, lists white supremacist Randy Weaver as one of his heroes on his MySpace page. Weaver was involved in a standoff with federal agents in Ruby Ridge, Idaho, that ended with Weaver's wife and young son being shot dead. It is one of the watershed events cited by devotees of the so-called Patriot Movement. You know, blah, 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 and it goes on. So you can see, I mean, right there already, Kostrick, Scottsdale, Randy Weaver, Viper, you see? You know, this is exactly what I was talking about. You know, here it comes. So I'm just, you know, whatever. Can we nip it in the bud? Well, we brought a lot of attention to the fact, yes, we have the information real skinny on what happened with the Viper prosecution here. It was Rahm Emanuel was, you know, advisor to Clinton's, you know, Clinton administration, 93, 98. You know, so he's playing politics with it, and now he's chief of staff. He's not going to do it this time. Then you have Janet Napolitano. You know, we call her Janet Napolitano. I mean, you know, same thing as far as we were concerned. So she's now head of Homeland Security, the Gestapo, and all of a sudden now we're supposed to feel better. They got all the unlimited resources to do this kind of stuff, where before, you know, it was more difficult. They really had to stretch it back then, but the internet wasn't as developed, but we were probably the most internet geeky savvy at the time, a bunch of libertarians with internets, and we went ahead and accumulated all the information and all the stories and all. You can do Viper Reserve search on Freedom's Phoenix, and, you know, there are all these stories that come up, all the graphics that we did, the T-shirts. Yeah, we had a thing called Viper Reserve, and we were just there to do nothing other than to document what was being done by who. We just wanted to make sure it got out, because we knew sooner or later, if we couldn't make an impact then, that it was going to come out in the future. And little did we know that she, with the prosecutor in this that was doing all this stuff and lying, that where we had a Dean Pleasant, a good friend of mine, he had a lawsuit. $5 million. Detail. It was, you have to get your government number and detail all this stuff. You get it part of the record. You paper the trail. So we take that and we put it up on Freedom's Phoenix, you know, all this stuff. We had that document being PDF'd, scanned in now. I think Powell may have already done it. You know, we got it out and we're just sitting there waiting. There will come a time. You know, when do we want to do that? We want to drop that on them. There'll be a time. You know, I don't know when, but there'll be a time. We'll go, all right, read this. Here's a summary judgment request on the motion on this thing. You know, just read it. You know, it's all good. That's what they did. They're doing it again. And they are doing it again. Will it be Arizona? Well, they wanted it to be. They were gearing up for it to be. You know, here it comes. You know, so hopefully we preempted that, but it doesn't stop them. They're going to do it somewhere else. You know, at the same time they're doing the Viper militia here, they're doing Georgia. You know, Georgia is doing it. Of course, you got their camo-wearing, you know, gun-toting, flag-shirt kind of death-to-government guys. You know, and they're always out there. And they'll make them heroes. And, you know, vanity, my favorite sin. You start pointing a camera at some of these guys, and they'll just ramble on, blah, 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 blah. You know, man, and fine. They get to have whatever. But that's not really the truth of a representation of most of the people. That's not what's happening. If you wanted to represent the people, you look to things like Dr. Paul. You look to the revolution, this entire generation that rose up on the truth. Do they talk to them? Hell no. Why would they want to talk to them? Because they're making reasoned arguments against government intrusions into their lives. They don't want to talk to them. You know, it's so I get it. And I'm not trying to change it. I just want them to understand what my position is, why I believe what I do, and document it. Because as time goes on, the people come back, they look at the, you know, my kids, my grandkids, you know, these other kids. You go back to 03, back when I was the only morning talk show host here, you know, talk show host, period, and others came on after. Before we, I was the only one before we went into Iraq. And I was like going, oh, heck no. No, 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 no. This is what I said. Let me tell you. They go, oh, you know, we'll win and kick their butt. And I go, let me tell you what's going to happen. And you can go to my old shows back in, you know, February, March of 03. And I go back when I was interviewing Tony Snow on air, G. Gordon Liddy, Sam Donaldson. You know, these guys, they're spewing their thing, blah, blah, blah. They wanted to get on a, you know, big radio show in a big market, you know, in Phoenix. They wanted to go and say their stuff. They didn't anticipate that I'd, like, ask them some real questions, you know. So you sit there and they go on and on and on. And I said, let me tell you what's going to happen. This is what I know is going to happen. This is what's going to happen. There is going to be video of Marine with his foot up on some rubble holding an American flag. We win. And then the war starts. Then is when the insurgents start. Then is when we're going to have people really start dying. Then is when you're going to see what happens when you occupy a country and they don't want you there. Then. What's happened? This was so predictable. And you'd at the time, you'd have the neocons and the right and the Republicans all. You even talk about not going and killing the ragheads. You communist. You know, or whatever ist I was, because I'm going, you know, why you want to say such stupid stuff? You're just repeating what Fox is saying or something, what Bush is rambling on about, what Cheney, Rumsfeld are going on about. You know, we got intel, you know, weapons of mass destruction kind of stuff. And I blindside them with the idea. I'm going, so? You know, you're just proving to all these small countries around the world you better have freaking nukes. You know, Saddam was trying to give the idea that trying to pass on that he did, and they all knew he didn't. You know, he was even kind of, you know, trying to scare him into come after. I'll use gas attacks or whatever, you know, because he was afraid, you know, trying to deter him and stop him. And what did they learn? If you don't have weapons of mass destruction or tactical nukes or whatever, defend yourself against the invading hordes of, you're getting invaded. You know, so what did South Korea do? I remember this. You had your axis of evil. You had Saddam. You had Amenashed. Okay, Aminajad. That's how I remember it. Amenashed. Patriot News Hour. They did that. I thought that was good. So you go Aminajad, and you had Kim, South Korea. Who was the least of their worry? Who was the one that, you know, got food sent to him? Who was the one that got negotiated with? Who was the one that, you know, they the saber rattling didn't work? It was crazy Kim. Jong Il, he's sitting back there going, yeah, you know what? Yeah, we do have nukes. You want Polaroids? Here, look, see? Right here. Are you sure you want to play? And they're going, maybe not. Especially with China sitting there. So what was the lesson? The lesson is you better have nukes or you stop messing with people. Quit pissing people off. Stop. It's not that hard. Just don't socially and economically engineer them. You know, don't use the force of American government and battleships and so on to go and impose your will on stuff. Don't use the CIA to go changing their leadership. Don't use the economic hitmen to go and indebt them forever and have, you know, uneducated, undeveloped countries that all of a sudden, how did all our gold, oil, and minerals get underneath your sand? It's ours now. Didn't you know? We signed a piece of paper right here. I've got to tell you about it. You know, this is a natural result of this. Is this hard to understand? So when you deal with things like, you know, they come at you, well, you know, we can't let Iran have nukes. And I'm going, why not? Well, because they may use it. Yeah, so stop pissing them off. You know, Pakistan has it. Heck, we were in support because we had our guy in Pakistan. Now the threat of, you know, our guy ain't going to be in Pakistan no more and they got nukes. Now what? You know, I'm just, it's craziness. It's just crazy. Nobody wants to be socially and economically engineered, and you sure as heck don't want it from a foreign soldier on your soil in a uniform pointing a gun at you at a checkpoint. Heck, you got, you know, Pastor Anderson all freaking out, you know, and getting tased and everything and all this hoopla going on. We're having fun with that case, too. That's going to be good. You know, so going on here inside Arizona, Yuma, you know, 40, 50, 60 miles from the border, just an excuse for them to do what they want to do. We're being conditioned. You know, take your shoes off, get on an airplane. You know, I'm really sick of that. You know, I hate traveling. And now they're complaining that nobody's traveling anymore. Airlines are going bust. You're going to nationalize them. You know, I remember during the Carter administration, people got all freaked out. They deregulated the airline industry instead of having these fixed prices and stuff. You know, you look back, you go, wow, they did that? Yeah. They deregulated, prices plummeted. It's round trip for $300 now. Back then, it was like $150. You can go there and back on Southwest Airlines. Yeehaw. Deregulation is good. But let me tell you what regulation is. This is where Dr. Paul comes in. He goes, let me tell you where regulation comes from. It's in property rights. It's in people get to spend their money where they want. You do away with monopolies. You know, you sue when somebody violates your life, liberty, property. You have the government sit there and just provide a equal standing under the law. Not equality, not this egalitarian crap we're going to take from and give to. You know, what's the benefit to somebody working to get? Or what's the reward for somebody even working? They're going to get anyway. You know, you want to see the future of society, you look at what's rewarded and what's punished. You're punishing productivity, and you're rewarding sloth and inactivity and dependence and disability and all. What'd you think was going to happen? So when you have these young people going up, you got a black man with an AR-15 stands up and says, hey, man, you keep plundering my generation. Sooner or later, there'll be resistance. It wasn't a black thing. It was a quit stealing from me thing. From a black guy with an AR-15. Just mucked up their crap, man. They just went, you know, how do they spend this? How do they deal with it? So what's Heidi say? Southern Poverty Law Center on the show today. First hour. She was gracious enough, came on. You know, originally we were going to do 2 hours. Our schedule kind of got tight, but I think she'll come back. You know, yeah, whatever. Yeah, we'll be all buds. And I'm going, okay, well, you know, you're starting to see from my perspective how your mission has gone awry when you're sitting there going, you know, domestic terrorists, they're on their list now. They got added to this, you know, racial hate thing. You know, it's like the government is its own race. Bureaucrats are, you know, they're like an ethnic group. They want to stop the ethnic cleansing of bureaucrats. That's what they want to do. So I'm going, okay. So how do you get to decide whose side you're on? What's the definition? What I believe is going to happen, there are two ways that this whole revolution thing is going to go, in my opinion. I mean, there's a lot of people, every individual American, you know, 300 million people are going to have their own little revolution one way or the other, be on whichever side. But I think the ones that are going to have the biggest impact on it is going to go in one, two directions. One was the book Unintended Consequences. I think his name was John Ross. And I read it when it first came out in 94. I think we got galley copies. You know, we were, you know, really interested in this and got a hold of a galley copy from someone, long story. But what happened was, in that book, the BATF, the government, they wanted to ban it from gun show, man. You can't, oh, heck no. Because it listed all of the, you know, the things that are happened to individuals and how they reacted. And there's like a star in there. His name was Henry Bowman, I think it was. But it was just about, you know, they finally got fed up and the one government agent did one too many things to one too many people and they reacted. You know, they went and, you know, he's driving down the road on his way to work and all of a sudden a guy pulls up next to him, boom, he's dead and drives off. You know, he's out jogging in the park, you know, stabbed, he's dead, drives, walks away. You know, you have, you know, I mean, it's all kinds of these stories. And the best description I got from a critic that reviewed the book said, it's a romance novel for men. And I'm going, yeah, okay, yeah, that's one way to describe it. So, but it gave, you know, kind of this reaction that people would come out. And the end of it is kind of, okay, the government, okay, we give, you know, we'll be nice. And you just know, really, there really needs to be a sequel because that's not what's going to happen. But I'm going, okay, so I could see it kind of going that way. Then there was Ayn Rand's view. You know, she came from the Soviet Union. She came here and she saw the same seeds of what destroyed that country here. Writes different books about it. Wrote the book Atlas Shrugged. Atlas Shrugged, I think, is really probably more likely what's going to happen for a lot of people and kind of the direction I'm going is that, you know, I'm just not. You know, you need my voluntary participation. You need my compliance. You need my ability. You need me to keep working and paying and going out and producing and buying and spending and just being part of and voting and advocating for the system and doing. And what if I just don't? I just don't. I don't got to even do it with anybody. I just don't. Now we raise our children, you know, don't do whatever. They take this part out of your check, but, you know, feel lucky you get as much as you do. But don't ever advocate that it's a good thing or they should do it. You know, what you want to do as an individual and how you want to, you know, if you want to pay taxes on paying your babysitter and the guy that mows your lawn, which they, this was rhetoric that they, in the 90s, remember, that was a big thing. Every transaction must be, which is why they want to go to electronics, money. You can't transfer any money without there being a cut that the government gets. They're just a gang with a flag. So they want to get their cut. So how do you do that? Well, you need to have electronics. You need to have control of the flow of money. So that's why you don't want cash. You have a cashless society. It's all about just so they can get the money. It's not about security or to make you feel better or love you, you know, your rights or anything. It has nothing to do with that. And it's just, you know, they, so they can get their cut because they can. So what happens when you start bypassing that? You know, you're stocked up on silver and food and this and that, or you just start doing barter trading with people there, and you're just outside the system. This is where Heidi comes in the conversation that we had. What if people just want to be left alone? They're not bothering anybody, you know, and the government comes after them. Do you defend their right to be left alone? You know, she won't. She can't. You know, that's not who's supporting her. So, you know, but that's the question. You know, when somebody just, look, I'm not in their system. I'm bartering eggs. You know, I'm raising rabbits. You know, this has been decided before. It was done in the Depression time and the FDR and so on. There was guys that said, look, I'm going to grow my own corn for my own cows. I am not in your system. I don't want to have any kind of controls on. I don't want to have any kind of controls on how much I get to grow or wheat or whatever. I'm going to do this. So what did they do? I can't remember what the case was called, but they came after him. They said he was in interstate commerce and gave the federal government jurisdiction. They could tax his own stuff and all other kinds of stuff because the fact that he didn't buy other people's grain on the market affected the market, so they had jurisdiction. No, that's the law. That's how they made the arguments for this. This is what they do. Where is Heidi going to be when people just want to be left alone to the point they'll defend themselves against somebody aggressing against them, even if they got a shiny badge? I don't know. Maybe she won't be as enthusiastic about supporting the government. And that's, I guess, we call a win. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Great day. We got a good show. And I want to make sure that you guys take the opportunity on the first hour. You know, you share that with people. You know, you could just right click on, you know, it says hour one and they'll say save as or link as or something. And then you, you know, your computer geeks out there know how to do that. And you just send it, or you just send the whole archive. Probably even better just send the URL for the whole page, you know, for that particular segment, because it has some of the other videos in it and stuff that we talked about and such. So it's, I think it's a good one to share. And Jet and I will have it up here within the next 30 minutes or so. And the power of the internet, and when we update that and put the MP3 in, that's when we put it back to the top of the page. As the other news starts to get on top of it, we'll get that, and then we'll put it back to the top of freedomsphoenix.com. Freedoms with an S, phoenix.com. And you'll share it because how often do you have somebody so prominent in the Viper Militia, which I wasn't, you know, I just knew one of the guys, and we defended making sure that the truth got out, you know, because we're just like, wow, man, they're really stretching it on this one. And we knew that would be a benefit in the future. Well, it is. and hopefully prevent it, you know, again, at least here in Arizona. But nothing stops these guys what they want to do, especially Janet Napolitano was governor and attorney general and U.S. attorney, assistant attorney, and was defending, you know, criminal defense attorney for bad politicians back in the early 90s here. I mean, she got Arizona ties. She wants to do Arizona. She'll do Arizona. She wants to put me on top of her list. Man, here it goes. Because, you know, so hopefully not. But, you know, we had to get this out. And did we do a good job? I mean, you know, we got the Eastern Southern Poverty Law Center kind of understanding, yeah, it's the same people doing the same stuff, bringing this crap up. You know, maybe it caused them just a little bit of pause. Is that all we need? Is that all we need? So I'm just of the opinion that if you can just keep communication open and you're not crazy, that helps, you know. And certainly you're advocating for, you know, peace, you know, just communication, understanding. Because in the understanding that there is a line. Now, am I allowed to have a line? You know, somebody's coming to take away my life, liberty, property, pounding on me, you know, abusing me, destroying the future. I mean, you know, can I at least just step back? Can I go somewhere else? Can I leave? Not with more than $10,000, you can't. You know, they're going to keep money here. Yeah, you know, it's wow. So if we can get some understanding from these people that are in positions to support this system, that they can see, because she was really, where did all these people come from? All these guns, where are they going to? What are they? And I'm going, they never left. You know, these people, they were educated, you know, how bad it was during the Bush administration. Heck, even the Republicans. Now all this power that they were against and they're worried about is in the hands of, you know, a very clear collectivist that wants to enslave them and their children. You think that they're not worried? It's time to arm up. And maybe it's not to rise up. It's just to defend yourself. Maybe just defend your food. You know, and they're allowed. I don't even care why. You know, because that's what, you know, the Constitution guarantees. Is that they're going to leave you alone. Have they? No. So maybe bad guys are in charge. Just trying to spread some information, increase the love quotient, working with the peoples, even the guys on the other side. We'll have more on the other side tomorrow with Stephen Lemons from the Phoenix New Times is coming in studio. That's going to be grins and giggles. You guys will enjoy that one. Pay attention. We'll see you then.